I have the reading public notice statement.
Vice Chairman Barthamas.
Here.
Mr. Ferrara.
Here.
Mr. Lambros.
Here.
Mr. Morelli.
Here.
Mr. Mostyn.
Here.
Mr. Sinha.
Here.
Ms. Beckish.
Here.
And for the record, Chairman Novellino and Mr. Conoscenti are absent. Therefore, Mr. Sinha and Ms. Beckish are seated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so the first item is the approval of the minutes of the May 25th, 2022 meeting.
Mr. Barthamas?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Sinha?
Yes.
Ms. Beckish?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is our one resolution about the hospital enterprises, Annie Stone Massage and Facial Spa. I think everyone had some ample time to look it over. Were there any comments or questions? Speaking on those blessings. Can I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Ferraro, and a second.
I'll make it.
Thank you.
Morelli.
Mr. Barthamas?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Sinha?
Yes.
Ms. Beckish?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. While we're waiting, due to the time that we think both new applications will take, the board would like to listen to this, Block 49, Block 12, Oak Hill Road first. I think that will be a little bit shorter.
The big red light in the boiler room that is glowing and making all that noise.
Is there any
no air, no microphones.
All right. Okay. Hi, Daniel, you good?
As good as I'm gonna get.
All right.
So for the record, Lisa, our poor report could do it. Apparently, our audio's out, microphones, speakers, etc. However, as a result, we are required to use the language law to record these proceedings. That's why we have our great court reporter here today. Yeah. So all the proceedings will be taken down. While it may not be audio recorded, we will have a transcript of everything said. So when you do speak, please speak slowly, and please do not speak over the other person. The reason why? Our court reporter could only type one person talking at a time. She only has 10 things. So just be mindful of that as we proceed. So for the record, I reviewed the notice of joint property owners and affidavit publication, and they are in order, and the board has jurisdiction to hear this matter. As we do in a normal course, we pre-marked certain. Wait, did you fix it?
I fixed it.
We tore the boiler up.
We pre-marked certain exhibits, which I'll read into the record as follows. A1, jurisdictional note attack. A2, application checklist administration form. A3, correspondence list of variances requests and with aerial. A4, aerial display of site on county property viewer dated 6/15/2022. A5, boundary and topo survey prepared by Crest Engineering, consisting of one sheet revised 6/15/22. A6, architectural elevation and floor plans prepared by Feldman and Feldman Architects, consisting of four sheets dated July 1st, 2022. A7, variant sketch prepared by Concept Engineering Consultants, consisting of five sheets dated 6/23/22. A8, set design plan proposal prepared by Concept Engineering, consisting of one sheet dated 5/19/22. Results part two of their own exhibits, which are read as follows. ZB1, which is our engineer's review, dated 7/18/22. ZB2, is our planner's report dated 7/21/22. Of course, counsel, you have the right to use any other exhibits that would be necessary and appropriate for application. Master Fire Engineers here. Our planner is not here. Apparently, their entire office has been exposed to COVID, so she is not showing up tonight. So, counsel, please enter your appearance. You can proceed with your application.
Thank you, Mr. Vella. My name is Alan Weiss. I'm an attorney. I represent. Is this working out?
No, just speak loudly.
I represent the Sycamores LLC. The Sycamores is a one-member limited liability company composed of Abe Budelman, who's sitting up here to my right. I have also with us tonight Mr. John Piscaca, the engineer for the project. This is an application for variances, which Mr. Piscaca will explain and put on the record, in connection with property located at 6 Oak Hill Road in Millstone.
Oak Hill Drive.
I'm sorry.
Oak Hill Drive.
Somebody spoke over me. Oak Hill Drive. The Oak Hill subdivision was created by a map that was filed in the Monmouth County Clerk's office in 1987. So as a broad brush, what you're going to hear tonight is an application in connection with a lot in a subdivision that was created in 1987. And because of what you're going to hear from Mr. Piscaca, there's some variance relief that Mr. Budelman needs to build one single-family detached residence. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Piscaca, have him sworn, and to have his testimony hopefully accepted by the board as that of an expert.
Okay, sir, please raise your right hand. You swear from the following testimony about to give the whole truth, but the truth.
I do.
You state your name for the record, spelling your last name.
John J. Piscaca, P-L-O-S-K-O-N-K-A, professional engineer, professional planner, in Elton, New Jersey.
Mr. Chairman, if we can move Mr. Piscaca to the board as a expert witness.
I don't have any problem with this. So,
Mr. Piscaca has been here numerous times. And he's been previously qualified this board as an expert in engineering.
And planning.
Who has?
Thank you. Just to follow up with what Alan has laid out, a client purchased 6 Oakville Drive recently, which is on the corner of Laurel Court. And the property is 60,000 square feet or 1.38 acres. On a vacant lot, that's a lot that's been around since, as we said, 1987. The rest of the subdivision has been built and occupied for many, many years. And the property has steep slopes along Oak Hill Drive. It has steep slopes on Laurel Avenue. And the intent of our application is to build a house in the flattest spot with the driveway facing Laurel and having the house space that way also. So you look at, I have a tape right there. I just happen to have an aerial that might also help out. If you just pass out
Well, I think our board secretary could pull up. I presume you're talking about.
No, this is not the one from the planner. It's one I.
984?
Yeah. It has. So you have one for the public also?
Yeah.
This is not. I did speak to the public before, but I will give them a copy.
Tool mark is A9, aerial photo of subject property.
That's one of the planners for right.
I don't have it.
Anyway, if you look at this plan that shows the houses around us, it shows Laurel and Oak Hill has an area in the right front corner facing Laurel, where the house would be, which is on the previous map that we had at the spring. And then the Oak Hill Court area, there's about a 90-foot area of steep slopes that can be preserved. There's about 30 or 40 feet in the rear of the property of Oak Hill. That would be the backyard of the house. That would be preserved. And there's some area along Laurel Court that would be preserved also, about 30 or 40 feet at least. So that's the intent, is to try to save as much of the steep slope as possible. And that's where we designed the house and the septic system up in the right front corner of Laurel Court. This is a very pretty area. It was out there, the trees, the oak trees that we're trying to preserve. We have a dry well, and we need variances for steep slope disturbance. So as you bring the driveway in from Laurel Court, there's a small area of disturbance of about 560 square feet. And there's a little bit more disturbance because we have to come in from Oak Hill Drive with a electric line, because the electric has been put there years and years ago, so we have a small disturbance. But between the two of them, we're going to have a disturbance of about 125 feet on Oak Hill and about 560 feet on Laurel. That's out of about 24,000 square feet of steep slope. So preserving 97% of the steep slope on the property. We also have a 5,000 square foot house, which is designed for this site to try to match the existing houses, which are all pretty big in that area. And the idea is to build a nice 5,000 square foot house, three-car garage facing Laurel, and to have a nice pitch peak roof on the house. So in having that peak roof and being up in the air at the top of the flat area, we do need the variance of about 1.7 feet for the height of the house, only to have a nice pitch roof. If the board doesn't like the pitch roof that way, we can flatten it out and avoid that variance. But I think it gives character to the area and looks much better than a flatter type roof.
Is there any half story above the second story?
No.
There's no living space in that attic area where you have the high bar.
I will have, they've said no living space.
Why do they swear them in?
Sure. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear from the following testimony? You're about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You state your name and correct. Spell your last name.
A. Budelman. Budelman.
Let me just ask him a couple of questions. Mr. Budelman, you are the member of the Sycamores LLC?
Yes.
And the Sycamores is the owner of this lot?
Yes.
And you are the applicant before the board?
Yes.
And personally, you are a home builder?
Yes.
And you are a home builder in Monmouth County?
Yes.
How long have you been building houses in Monmouth County?
47 years.
Have you ever built any houses in Millstone?
Many.
Thank you. The question was, is there going to be usable living space in the attic area depicted on the diagram to the right?
No.
Thank you.
So what is the burn?
136.79, where 35 is permitted.
Less than 2 feet above the ordinance, but it's 1.79. And the other variance is the minimum usable area, because this lot is 60,000 square feet. The applicant is proposing a 165 diameter circle, where a 200 foot diameter circle is required, we're disturbing about 25,000 square feet of this 60,000 square foot lot. So this is not a big footprint. As we said, we're saving almost all the steep slopes on the property.
You're required to have one buildable acre. You have 25,000, somewhere around there?
That's what we're disturbing, 25,000.
But that's what the variance is.
So the applicant is proposing 0.72 acres.
0.72 acre is proposed.
Yes, we're not using that.
I'm not saying using, but that's what's buildable. You have to have 1 acre.
Right.
So 1 acre versus 0.72, which is an existing condition. That's what the value is.
It's pre-existing.
And in that 0.72 acres, you cannot fit the 200 foot radius, the diameter surface. You can only fit 165.
And simply it's because you can't count all the any space that's in the steep slopes.
Okay. Right. And again, when this subdivision was approved 30 years ago, the town did not have steep slope ordinance. So this came 15, 20 years ago.
But the steep slope ordinance applies to this application.
Yeah.
When was this property purchased?
A couple of months ago.
With the understanding of the limitations.
I don't believe my client understood those limitations. It does now.
So that, for clarity, does it require the 1 acre of flat buildable area?
It has to be buildable area. No wetlands, no steep slopes.
And what the applicant is testifying to right now is that there's 0.72 acres available.
That's buildable.
And they're going to disturb 25,000 feet.
They need a portion of that 0.72. But they have to disturb the steep slope as well just to get to the flat area.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So, yeah, to make a drive.
Yes.
Members of the public, I know you have your hand up. Once the applicant completes their application, you'll all have the opportunity to ask any questions of any of their witnesses and also testify regarding any other aspects or being stated. So I don't want you to have your hand up the whole time.
I got you.
This vacant lot can't be developed under your current ordinance without these variances. It's non-usable. You said you have to follow every step of the property. So we need these variances to be able to build a single family house, 5,000 square feet, in the flattest area of the property. And the land use talks about a C1 variance, which involves a demonstration that a practical and undue hardship regarding to the use of the property, it relates to the shape of the property or topography of the property. And here's a property which has steep slopes, and the strict enforcement of the zoning ordinance imposes a hardship on the client here because of the way the property is in terms of steep slopes and size. So it's undersized by 20,000 square feet, the nearest 1987. And steep slopes, and we're trying to do the best we can to make a nice house that fits the neighborhood at this location. So I don't see any, I think this is a reasonable approach. I think what we've done here is do the best we could under the circumstances.
Anyone have any other questions? I have a question. For this subdivision, I know it's been there for years, but originally, was there any set forth deed restrictions in regards to the size of homes that can be built on any of these lots?
Not that I'm aware of.
How do we find that out?
I have a title search.
Okay.
Because do you have a witness? I'm just asking.
You know, it's one of those things. I thought about bringing it, and then I said, well, I'm not going to need it, which, of course, I should have brought it because now I need it. there's a law that says that. I don't recollect seeing a restriction in the search.
It has to be bigger than 3,500 feet, 5,000 feet, 4,000 feet. You're not sure.
I'm substantially not sure. Okay. I don't have it in front of me to read, but I'm substantially sure that that's correct.
It didn't appear in either Matt's letter or the planner's letter.
Matt, did you review the prior resolution, subdivision resolution?
I have no access to those resolutions.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
Okay. So, and the only thing, Mr. Bella, Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I brought, I might as well just mark it because it's, we've been talking about it. I did take a copy of the front of the map and the subdivision map that got filed in the county clerk's office.
Once again, that's me. We'll mark it.
Yeah, that'll be A10. And this is just a demonstration of how old the subdivision is.
A10 will be a copy of final flat for Oak Hill file
51187.
Is that at the second page,
Arthur? Yeah. I have a question. Lots been available since the '80s. No one's built. No one's owned it or tried to build on it. Is there any history?
So I know a little bit of the history from something else that I've done, and I don't mean to testify, but I will advise and inform. Let me see if I can find it because I might have brought something here with me.
Pretty much every lot's developed except this one.
So, and I'm going to try and remember names. So, I am representing Monmouth County in the roundabout project at Scooter's Corner. And In connection with that, I know some of the history, some of the homes. The really big home at Scooter's Corner, the owner of that property bought this lot years and years and years ago, I believe with the intention of building a house there and moving. He subsequently passed away, and the lot went into a trust where it sat for a great many years. So when Mr. Boodleman contracted to purchase the lot, he purchased it from the trust. So there was no one alive at the time that was his seller. And from what I can recollect, because I had the title work on that other house as well, and I met with that owner because the county needed to acquire some right-of-way for the roundabout project that's going to be constructed actually soon. Because, by the way, we have federal right-of-way authorization. That is why this thing lingered for so long, in my measure judgment, that the man bought it, was going to build a house there, he died, and that's where we are.
Do you have any surveys or anything?
We got nothing from the seller. It was nothing that was available, nothing that was given to us. And we fully closed that a couple April of this year is when it closed.
Another question.
So talk about you can't really build on this lot without some variance, because you have to do a variance to get to your 0.72 acres. But if you put a smaller house on the 0.72 acres, does that alleviate some of these other variances, like 200 feet in the height?
The height you can adjust, but the variance for the usable area is based on the fact that it's undersized lots. You can't create that. That's a pre-existing variance, right, basically. And the variance for the disturbance is just to get the driveway in and electric in. So the only thing you could adjust, if anything, would be the height of the roof. And talking to our neighbors back there, they'll speak to themselves, but they like a bigger house that's more valuable, that keeps the value up of the area.
Yeah, I found some notes here that I thought I had on just for, you know, the general interest. This lot that we're talking about right now was conveyed to Mr. and Mrs. Pollan in 1992. He died in 1997. And then, you know, so it just sat in the estate for all of those many years. So it was subsequently conveyed to Mr. Rudelman this last April. So that's the history of why we have a subdivision created in 1987 with a lot in the middle of the subdivision. But after these many years, other ordinances came on top of it. And here we are today asking for permission to build a house which fits in the neighborhood on the lot with the minimal
requirements
to do that. We're not asking for more. We're just asking for what is needed. And we think that fits really nicely into what the land use law talks about when we talk about a C1 variance, that there is a hardship here. We're trying to overcome and deal with the hardship, but yet make a house fit in with the other houses in the neighborhood.
What was the zoning minimum lot size in 1987?
I did not really look at it. They had an R60 zone back then. I think that's probably what this was.
I believe back in 1987, I think it was 3.5 acres, if I'm not mistaken.
Every lot in the subdivision is undersized.
Yeah. And
so today's
standard. Right. Right. And even I think this one at those that period standards as well.
On how so the board approved it.
Yeah. Well, it would certainly be easy enough to figure out what that this minimum lot size was at the 1992 acquisition of the property by the Pullens, as well as what it was when the lot was subdivided originally for the major this subdivision that's in place. He stated that Mr. Gudelman had stated that he has built many properties in Millstone Township, and he acquired this one only recently. I would contend that at that point he would have known what the minimum lot size would be at the time of purchase, having the experience of building many houses in Millstone Township. Certainly due diligence would have forced anyone to recognize that or at least invest in.
To add to that question, just popping from my head, had any of the other structures that the applicant built involved steep slopes on any of the other jobs? Everything just flat?
Yeah. There's no question if he knew when he bought the lot it was undersized, just a zoning change. But it's a lot that's surrounded by other homes. And you can't take other land to make it conforming. And you do have the steep slope for it. So the two variants we're asking for, based on basically are hardship variance, not that the hardship day, the hardship because of the shape or size of the land. So these fit the land use, the planning testimony you've outlined. And the only variance that's different, that's a request, is the height of the house to give it a better look. I think it's better for the neighborhood.
Yeah, I know this piece of property very know many of the neighbors around as well. Having a higher house here, certainly, I guess we'll hear from the neighbors, the adjoining neighbors, as to whether they agree with that or not. This will be the highest point in, actually, I believe, in Millstone Township. I used to go there, I was young, to go look out to the ocean from that point when the trees were short. So I know very well that that lot is, in fact, one of, if not the highest in Millstone Township. That being said, the elevation, the final roof height elevation might be something that people take deference to. What's going on in the neighbors?
Another general question with regard to the existing subdivision and the homes that are there. What's the average square footage of the existing home compared to what you're proposing now?
I'm not sure, but the neighbors probably tell us.
Thoughts.
Just want to let you know the town has an ordinance for undersized lots. You can have an undersized lot as long as you have 1 acre of buildable, you can build a house without coming to the board.
Right.
But he's coming to the board because of steep slopes and not having 1 acre of buildable there. So yes. A 60,000 square foot lot is really is not in the picture. It's that. Not having 1 acre of buildable area. And where the house is proposed, no matter what size house we put in, he's still going to need those two variants. He has to have a driveway that goes through a steep slope.
Right.
And the existing lot doesn't have 1 acre. So really, the size of the house doesn't change.
So then either you can grant some variances to do this, or this lot stays as an undeveloped lot forever. Is that?
Well, I'll jump in. So this is what happened. This is a very unique situation. Okay. You're not talking a lot of times you deal with, you know, a quote unquote undersized lot. Now, Millstone doesn't have those quote unquote undersized lots where lots were subdivided many moons ago before municipal land use law when you go to the county clerk and say, here's my property. I'm subdividing these all lots and giving it to all my children. There was no zoning ordinances that prohibited that, or the land use ordinance. Okay? Those type of ordinance deals with size. Okay? Now, there's a thing called zoning in a property to in utility. Okay? Well, that concept basically is that our town creates ordinances that says minimum lot area, minimum lot width, setbacks, steep slopes, all these things that were creating limitations on the property. You can't build it, X amount of feet from the property, X amount of feet from the side, X amount of fact, can't overbuild the canopy, too much pervious, too much building, can't build in steep slopes. Those are the ordinances that we are imposing on this property. Now, at some point, if someone can't build on that, that they've been paying taxes on the property, the town has been accepting taxes on the property, not this applicant, because he owns owner for law. If accepting this property, that if we say in certain circumstances that you're not allowed to build a house there because of our ordinance, whether, hey, it's just property's too small, you can't build on, right? You have a 20-foot wide property, you know, how minimal, how wide could you build a house, right? You say that's just, we're not going to ever approve the 12-foot wide house, right? If in those types of circumstances, there's a lawsuit filed by an attorney against the board for the denial and then saying, hey, by the way, if the board is right that your ordinances don't permit me to build on this spot, then my second counts against the township of Millstone for zoning it into utility, right. Meaning, hey, town, I've been paying taxes. You need to buy that property from me. which includes attorney's fees and associated costs and the like. So when we say you can't build on that lot, now, we say you can't build on a lot all the time. That does not a zoning, it's utility. The guy builds a house that requires a 20-foot setback, but he wants 15. We say, no, that doesn't mean you can't build. You just can't build it as big as he wants. So in the case of utility, the town would then have to use their tax dollars to buy this property, and it would be owned by the town and never be used. Okay, and they'd spend, the town would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever it cost, and now the town would own this property, and they would have to maintain it. They never collect the tax dollars, and it just sits there. We have a circumstance before us. We have relatively three variances. Steep slopes, doesn't have enough buildable area, and height. The height, now, with what they're saying, and I think Matt's confirmed, that if you don't grant me a variance for the steep slope disturbance, I can't build a house on that because there's steep slopes all around it. I can never build a house on it because I can't get a car to the street. So you can't have a house, right? Or B, if you allow me to disturb and build a driveway, but I just don't have a round circle area that you imposed on us saying you need 1 acre of buildable area on a lot to build. Tell me I can't get in more than what I have, 0.72, because you, by ordinance, have determined all this other area that's steep slopes. I can't count it. I got the property. You just won't let me use it. So if he's saying, if you don't give me either or, I'm not allowed to build on this lot because I can't. That's probably one of the clearest cases of zoning a property into utility. Because you'd be saying that, and it's okay to do that. You just gotta tell the town you're gonna have to buy this property. They never like hearing. Because there's, other than building a bridge over, having the order change that you could have 0.72 acres built there, those variances tonight can't build on. Now the height variance is completely different. That's a cosmetic issue, which has nothing to do with our conversation.
So if I hear you correctly, if you reject this applicant, we are basically saying, we'll bring this.
I wouldn't say that because I wouldn't want on the record saying that. Okay. Council may argue that, but I'm just telling you that that's the conceptual legal analysis. Okay. I've had, you know, really don't have these type of cases in my lawsuits. My lawsuits are I have a 25 foot wide property. Someone wants to build a 17 foot wide home that's 60 feet long. And my boards say it's too close to the neighbor's property. Why is it? It shouldn't be 2.5 stories. It's this, that, or the other. And we argue that no, just because we denied it, there's no legal requirement to be 2 stories if it creates variance. But that's the real difficulty with an application like this is that all those 2 variances almost permit you to build anything on it. Now, the size of the house, that's a different story. You know, the size of the house, while it, quote unquote, is not creating variances, right? But, because he's not creating a setback variance, building coverage variance, pervious coverage variance. But is there a nexus between the size of the building and the usable area that you could build on? Possibly, right? Could you say that? Well, you know what? You don't have an acre to build, so you shouldn't build a house that is able to be built on an acre. But that's a different circumstance.
But I thought I heard Matt say that the size of the house wouldn't change
the point. The house is outside of the steep slope. So.
The physical footprint of the house doesn't create variance. Mm-hmm. But they're asking for a variance for usable area. That 0.72 wouldn't take. The board could say, yeah, you could have that variance, but your house should be reduced to a portion that's commensurate, with the reduced size of the buildable area. And I'm not saying that you should. I'm just giving you an example. If that's the issue, if the house is not comparable to the house outside zone, or that, you know what, sources at the house in the buildable area, you should have a smaller house if you don't give us the acre, because you need more space for everything else, and you're overbuilding because you need a variance, you need an acre. Why should you be able to build something that I could build in an acre where you don't have an acre? That's kind of the analysis. So that's the law behind it. You've heard the testimony about, you know, the most important testimony, and I think Matt would agree that those two variances are always going to be there. But size of the house, the height of this roof, that's a different story.
So if this relief isn't given, then the value of the property is considered buildable.
Potentially.
And then value.
That's the determination of what the meaning. Theoretically, if the court says you denied these variances, now, court could also say, because they sue us first, and say, hey, Greg, your zoning board is clueless. That denial was not proper. You have to grant those variances, right? Then us as the board would lose. The court would say, hey, applicant, you got your variances. You can build the house. It never gets to the issue of inutility because our decision has been overturned by a court. The only time it gets to the inutility is if we win. Because then the court is saying, hey, this board's right. You can't build that. Right? Then it goes to the town. But if we're wrong, we just deny it. And I write a resolution that says, applicant came before the board, they're denied. Two sentences. Said a lot of time. Court's going to say, you have to show facts and reasoning for a denial. The decision can't be arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable. So that's kind of, there's a stepping process, but that's what you need to look at.
Any questions for the board for what the developers say? All right, then what I'd like to do, unless you have any more testimony to present, is let us hear from the public. What's in the
I have some questions. Sure. So how about, you know, pick up, you know, our job here is to hear the testimony, review the evidence, do our absolute best to perfect the plan. Because if it does get approved, we want it to be the best that it can be. Right? We don't want to just not ignore all these other elements. Okay. So there's some review reports from our engineer and planner. Our planner is not there here today, but can you address the items in the reports? Like, for example, where is the dry well going to be located? You know, all the review comments on the engineer's report, 4A through E. And 3, and then on the planner's report on page 5, all the section, well, really, it's just 5, page 5, planner's report. Items 2 through 10 have interest to me. And then for the 35-foot height variance, restriction, how will you propose to meet that? What you will bring down the height of the building if you agree to meet the 35-foot ordinance?
Let me go back and start from scratch from the question. First of all, the house, as shown, 5,000 square feet, meets all the requirements of your zone. In terms of setback, side yard, coverage, all those elements we meet. And for instance, of maximum lot coverage is 20%, we have 10%. Maximum building coverage is 10%, we have 5.7%, and we meet the lot width, the lot frontage, the front setback, the side setback, all the setbacks, and we it's a maximum two-story house, and we don't meet the height by 1.7 9 feet. So we're making the house conforming to all your requirements that we can, except the two that we outlined initially. And in terms of Matt's report, I concur to address his report. And we have a dry well in front of the house, not in the steep slope area. It's on the current plan. Maybe Matt missed it, but.
Well, your arrow points to steep slope. But I think it's in front of it's the arrow that points to the steep slope.
There's an arrow, it says proposed 8-foot diameter dry well for water sump discharge, and it's behind, not in the steep slope. Just
well, mine shows an arrow into the steep slope.
Then we have a.
You'll fix it.
I'll fix that.
But it's not going to be in the steep slope.
Definitely not.
Right.
And the, we have a underground pipe that's not in the steep slope. For recharge, so that any water from the roof goes into that recharge as opposed to discharging on the property. And we did that underground recharge because it's smaller than putting in a rain garden, taking down more trees, and disturbing more steep slope. So we looked at this from an environmental point of view, and we agreed with Matt to take all the steep slope areas, which is, you know, almost 24,000 square feet, and put them in a conservation easement in perpetuity to the town.
Let's go back to that. You said we're running electric through there?
I said we have, there's an existing electric box on Oak Hill Drive.
And?
It's been there for 30, 40 years.
So are you proposing to run a conduit through the steep slope?
Yes, I said that in my initial testimony, about 125 square feet of disturbance to get that conduit up there.
Taking trees down?
We will unless we can directional drill it.
That's why I'm not, when you first told me this before, I thought there was a conduit underground already. No, so you're digging to the steep slope.
We have to dig a little trench.
Well, I'm not too crazy about that personally, but you're also going to need a conduit for cable. You're going to need a pipe for the gas. So I don't know why we're not putting in new ones next to the driveway.
That would be my suggestion. That
whole scheme of design, when it was subdivided, Jersey Central, or BSEG,
I understand. Yeah,
they laid it out so all the transformers feed the houses. There's a transformer directly across from the stub that feeds up to Oak.
I just don't know how much you're going to affect this slopes that you're trying to, you know, put in conservation. Digging right through it.
I said we had 24,000 square feet of steep slope. We're disturbing 3% between the driveway and the
But you do have an option not to disturb this.
They can't really redesign that system. They can't take back the power that's, their transformers are set for so many outlets. They can't create another transformer on Laurel Court to feed this house.
So let me ask you a question. You can't go from the existing power D-mark and route that utility down Oak Hill Drive up Laurel Court and then parallel with the driveway?
I think by the time you do that, there's no more voltage left. They don't have that. You can't get big
enough. I don't think you're qualified to determine. You didn't say it in a mean way or a bad way. But that's obvious. Now, just
as far as the gas line, we are going to bring the gas line up the side of the driveway that we're disturbing. The electric line is pre-existing. The gas line is on Laurel, existing. So we can tap into that gas line anywhere and bring it up the driveway. The electric line is under the street to a stub that's coming up and the cable. They both go in the same trench. So it's one trench for electric and cable. They both go in the same trench. And what we will do is we'll try to bring a trencher in and work our way up as best you can and try to limit the amount of trees you take down. You're not going to go with a giant bulldozer, clear it, and then dig it. And they're going to try and preserve it.
Hey, in your professional judgment, what's the width of the trench that you would be required?
The problem is that this area has stones, and until we bring the trencher out, we don't know if a trencher can do it. So no matter what we use, we're going to try and go around as many. We don't have to go in a straight line. It doesn't have to be exactly straight. We can go around trees with a trench as best we can and try and preserve the tree. I've been building a millstone since 1979. I've done many houses throughout the town. We always tried to preserve trees. And that's why I bought the spot, because of the trees and the character of the lot. So my objective is not to take the trees down. My objective is to save the trees.
Just said, that changed the opinion you had of your letter. Because the Environmental Commission reviewed this, and we agreed with what you said. Didn't require a...
I just don't know how much we're disturbing the steep slope that we're trying to preserve.
I'm sorry.
Worst case scenario, it's a 50-foot of steep slope, and if it's 10 feet wide, it's 500 feet. If I have to do 10 feet, which I don't think I have to do.
And how many trees we're taking down?
Exactly the number.
We could meet with Matrify at the site. We could try to pick a spot that goes the minimal disturbance and then provide that on the plan as part of the record for a
future change. The problem I have with that is not that we don't trust Matt. Okay, is that what you're proposing on this for the electrical creates a barrier. Okay, if this was just just in this electrical thing, that for the board to just grant the variance whatever Matt says is okay to disturb seems a little too far and not appropriate, and you shouldn't put that on Matt. Okay. Not that Matt couldn't do it. I think the board would want to know the answer before, wants to see how much you're going to disturb, where you're going to disturb, what's the cause of it before we grant you a variance.
Right. The Environmental Commission would want to see that too, because based on Matt's comments, we didn't require the study, the environmental, environmental study.
Right.
That's in the ordinance. So if he's going to disturb trees, you need to take it back to the Environmental Commission and see. We want to know.
Right. Well, that's our point. I think maybe we should go to the public, but I think that's something in the back of our mind is that there's a variance here. Now, there's a difference variance between the driveway and what you're talking about here. Okay. Driveway is a driveway. We all know what the driveway is, but that may be something that Matt's got to meet with the applicant and the acquisitors to either A, put on a plan what the area disturbance is going to be and how many trees are going to be removed, or B, can...
B would be meet with JCP&L and ask them why couldn't they go from lower.
Or B, or figure out another plan so you're not disturbing disturbances for this electrical and cable with us. Now, I can tell you, that issue has nothing to do with my whole spiel about in utility. Okay, because that's different. It's just telling you where to bring the utilities in is not a in utility. If we say, listen, you can't bring electric onto the property, it's not what we're saying. But where you bring it, how you bring it, especially if it creates a variance, that's a different story.
There's also possibility of boring under the conservation. I don't know if that's something I thought of.
I can check with one of my people who does directional drilling, and maybe it's only a distance of about 90 feet if it gets up to the area where we're disturbing the property. Instead of a drill there, might be able to drill and put a casing in, a 4-inch casing, that would then run the electrical through. So that would not disturb the trees at all.
Have you contacted JCP&L about the service?
I have not, but
you're saying this is the only source of electricity.
My client has told me that, so I'm not sure.
Can you back that up somehow?
Of course. Okay.
So as I'm going through the report, I would be more comfortable knowing before we grant any kind of approval or deny the application how that's going to, all this is going to happen, the electric coming into the property. And if you can come back at a later time and another hearing to prove to us how that's going to happen, that'll help. But why don't we go through the other elements of these reports? So if there's additional homework to come back with, at least we know that wouldn't happen.
What were your concerns about the planet report?
So the next one on is D, the amount of soil being brought in or taken out off the site.
We're trying to take nothing in except for excavating or putting it by edge. That's why we get the house high. We don't push down and have to have a soil.
But it would be good if we kind of know much.
We'll give you that calculation.
And then, okay, the utilities. So then on the planner's report, is it appropriate to go through the planner's report without the
As I mentioned at the beginning, our planner's not here due to their whole entire office being exposed to COVID. We can definitely go over the report with the app.
Okay. So starting with four, I'm assuming that you're going to modify the plans to reflect a two-car garage as opposed to a two-car garage.
I think I saw that. Architect plans are a three-car garage.
And you call it two-car.
Yeah.
That's what
the verbiage.
Okay. That's the verbiage.
We'll correct that. Typographical error.
Yes.
And testimony on item five is the testimony regarding any efforts to preserve the existing trees and the number of trees to be removed.
We'll provide the number of trees being moved to the driveway. And if they work out something for the electric, we'll also identify that.
Okay, good. And if there's going to be any fencing?
No fencing.
Okay. And I don't know what they meant by the applicant shall provide testimony related to the intended aesthetic of the structure, including materials. So I'm assuming it's going to be probably typical construction.
Stone and siding.
Stone and vinyl siding. And then how about lighting?
Just for the entryways. No special lighting. Just for security and looking at the front door, you have a light. Light in the back door.
Typical lighting.
Yeah.
About
the light on the garage, too?
Yeah. Yes.
How about the air conditioning pads?
Left side of the house. You're looking for more, yeah.
All right.
A question in regards to, you've got two dwellings, two structures, I should say. I don't see that on the profile view over there. Perhaps I do, but I don't believe that's on there. There only shows one structure. There's a breezeway here?
No, that's the other one. That's the other one. We switched our agenda.
Sorry about that. All right, I'm looking here. I didn't see.
Long enough.
All right. Any other questions for the
No, but I think no. I don't have
none heard. I'd like to open this up to the public at 8:36 p.m. If anyone from the public wants to come, please keep it as precise and as point as possible. Since we have another applicant behind this one, and let us know your feelings. But you have to come and square yourself in. So, anyone?
We can do one at a time. It's easier for our court reporter if only one person talks.
We're a team.
May I please raise your right hand? Do you swear from the following testimony about to give the full truth, nothing but the truth? Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, and give us your address.
Maria Maraday, M-A-R-A-D-A-Y, 4, both buildings are.
All right, if you're looking at the subject property, where do you live as compared to the house, so we know where you...
The yellow Victorian, which is their backyard. It's going to be their backyard.
So if you're on Oak Hill, the property's on the right, you're the first house to the left. Their property.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention that Poland has been an owner of many houses in Millstone, and you brought up a very good point. If the builder had built many houses in Millstone, why wouldn't he have known that it was an unbuildable lot? Poland has owned it for many, many, many years. I've lived in Millstone for many years. Everyone knows that she owned that piece of property. I just want to bring up something that no one has brought up at all. The most important thing was these slopes. I did not own this house when there was a major slide. And I'm sure there are some people on the board that know about the slide on Oak Hill Drive from disturbing slopes. I didn't own the house at the time, but my particular house was one of the houses that's why I have this tremendous hill in front of my house. So if they disturb any of these slopes in any way, are we going to have another slide? Is there anyone here on the board that's been here that has witnessed that many years ago?
25 years ago.
So the town knows that 25 years ago. So there was a major problem on Oak Hill Drive from slopes. So if you're a builder that's been building for many years in Millstone, anyone that's a builder would know that. And if Poland all these years knew that it was an unbuildable lot, that's why she never sold it, then maybe they made a mistake in purchasing this piece of property. When I bought my house a few years ago, I loved that piece of property next door. I said, wow, wouldn't that be great if Poland had kept that all in that one property? She did it. She kept that separate all these years and knew it was unbuildable. So everybody in Millstone knows about that.
Okay, sir.
Jim Maverick.
Well, you raise your hand. You swear affirm the podcast made about you. Is the whole truth nothing but truth?
Yes.
State your name, direct testimony, last name.
Jim Maverick, M-A-R-A-P-A-Y.
Okay.
Just real quick. I understand you bought this property. Sounds like he didn't do a great job, didn't follow through on due diligence as far as a buildable lot. But I understand he bought it. I would ask the board not to grant him any of his variances. That's how I feel. I mean, he's looking for a house that's going to be built taller, wider. He's building a 5,000 square foot house on a lot that's not very big. I'm just asking the board to consider it.
So how many square feet is your house? Trying to get an idea.
Most of the houses on that street are between, I would say, 2,800 and 3,200 square feet. On Oak Hill Drive.
I was trying to get an idea.
Yeah.
You heard of
lower courts, a bigger house.
Yeah. I go. All right. Yeah, please raise your right hand. You swear from the podcast testimony about give the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes.
State your name, record, spelling your last name, give your address, sir.
Tristan Maraday or Oak Hill Drive. See some familiar faces on the board. I work for the township, so 5 years in now. I know a lot about Oak Hill. Going back to what my mother has stated, that I actually have pictures. I wish I brought them. I would have printed out everybody a copy of the landslide that happened 24 years ago. They were building and Oak Hill collapsed. So regardless of scaling the house up, down, you still got to remember and you got to consider the slopes. I mean, we don't want to have another disaster part two for building a house, and especially going over trying to get these variances for scaling the house up, taller, that doesn't matter. It's about, and I'm not so confident with pulling, and we can reroute that, we can get a ditch witch and reroute it. It's not, I'm not so confident in it. at all, and I would strongly advise the board to consider this message to everybody here, that it's just, we would not want that in those stuff, considering the slopes. I understand it's a business. I understand that builders want to build and sell, and I'm all for that, but you got to consider the format of Oak Hill and what it was before this, prior to we were here. It already was a disaster. We don't want another disaster. And it's possible. You don't want to go through those slopes, and you don't want to, you don't want to cause another catastrophe.
Did you say the house is on the other side of Oak Hill or on a similar slope? Just the spot that has other slopes. You know, this area of Oak Hill. Is that the same problem?
Yeah. Well, no, it's Oak Hill going up. The entire lot on the left slope.
Right. Or the right of that.
Right, yes. So,
I'm asking, what about the rest? Right? There's less slope?
Right.
Right side?
Right. Yeah. And like you said, what about going through electrical and energy CPNL, have transformers set up in that area and all that. I'm just not so confident with it at all. It's just, you got to preserve those slopes. So
what I'm looking at, just again, getting back on the electric, with about approximately 4 or 5 other homes on Laurel Court, there has to be another transformer over.
Right.
I mean, I would like to assume. Again, maybe a little due diligence with PSEG or whatever power company.
Right.
To consider power from next door or versus Oakville Drive. To move everybody. To not disturb them.
Yeah, slope is there. Yeah.
Oakville Drive.
Right.
We have our homework too.
Thank you.
Move this along then. I'm sorry, there's more.
Ma'am, please raise your right hand. Swear from the following testimony about to give the whole truth.
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name.
Michelle G. Tarantino, Tarantino. I am counsel for Patricia and Michael Duranta that live at 7 Laurel Court.
Okay. When you say counsel, you're an attorney?
I'm an attorney on their door.
Okay, that's sometimes.
So I'm a pro bono attorney.
Sometimes people just say counsel, and they're just making it up. No problem, counsel. Okay, you obviously have the right to ask any questions.
I just want to ask both the engineer and the applicant. Have you looked at? You're proposing to take the top of that lot on Laurel Court, which is the flattest area, and add a ton of impervious space to it where there is currently drainage. There are no sewers into that cul-de-sac at the end. The only two sewers are on the opposite side by Oak Hill Drive. Have you looked at how leveling that out and adding impervious space is going to affect water drainage down into Laurel Court?
The answer is yes. The plan that was submitted to the town shows a maximum lot coverage of 20% allowed. We only have 10%. And in designing that with a driveway and the house itself, we put in a stormwater underground piping system here so that the water is caught before it goes out to the street. So we've done that to meet the criteria of the town's stormwater management order.
Okay. And that piping system will shoot the water where? Down Oak Hill Drive?
Into the ground. So there's no discharge into the slopes.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Anyone else in the public? Okay, seeing no one, then I'd like to close the public portion of this application at 8:47 p.m. Council, do you have any other thoughts or comments you would like to
people are all in agreement that this is going to be carried.
Yes,
carried.
Okay.
Yeah, so, all right. So,
can I just ask one more thing?
I already closed the hearing.
We're the application is going to be carried, so you'll be given another opportunity.
Conservation district, where everything will be fenced around it, so any erosion will be blocked from going.
So, if you did think that's a possibility, is there types of stabilization that the applicant
can do? They have to have stone stabilized entrance to the site.
All right. So, this first, it's good to our board secretary. Do we have room at our August meeting for this to be carried?
Thank you. We have one tentative application that has not been deemed complete yet, but
so we're actually a similar average.
Steve Slopes also.
I don't know if we want to have two of them one night.
Well, let's ask the obviously secondary question. Do you think you'll be able, you've heard the comments, from the board or engineer regarding discussions, determinations, and a clearer picture on the utility aspect diverting through the conservation area. Do you have enough time to potentially answer all those questions that Matt will have and the board will have, be back before the August meeting, which is in 30 days, or do you need 60?
I believe we could have those answers to you in 30 days before that. You need at least a week or so ahead of time.
Well, yeah, well, you're going to need at least file 10. If you're going, we're going to require, if you're going to put it through the conservation area, you have to revise the plans to show that, right?
Right.
Then those plans got to be 10 days early. If you make a determination that we can just wrap it around and not disturb it, that's not, then you don't need to submit revised plans on that, because you're not going to be waiving your variance request for that area of disturbance. So it's going to be up to you when you come to your determination what you need to do. But can you do this in the next 20 days with a holiday weekend in there? That's fine, I'll carry it to August. And if you can't carry it, well, I'll move to September. But
I think we'd like to have it carry till August, and if we see we're not getting to the right answers or enough answers to satisfy ourselves and satisfy Matt, then we'll ask for September.
Okay. Members of the public, this application, you heard the comments.
I'm sorry, but if that happens and they're not prepared for August, can we ask them to be noticed?
That we have done that numerous times. So what this is, that yes, we have on numerous occasions when the applicant has requested an extension or an adjournment for reasons that they're not ready. We do sometimes require them to be noticed. In this case, there's not that many residents, but we'll decide that at the August meeting if they need more time. Pre-noticing is, from my perspective, not the biggest deal in the world, especially in an area like this. There's not many property owners within 200 feet. But we'll deal with that in August if the applicant's unable to proceed at that time. So, for the record, members of the public, you heard all the comments from the board of professionals. They're going to meet to go over these issues that you heard today. This application will be next heard on August 24th, 2022 at 7:30 p.m. in these chambers. It's the next time this application will be discussed. I would check at least 10 days prior to that hearing, contact the board secretary, see if updated revised plans have been submitted so you can see what's going on. So if you receive certified mail now, before, you will not receive it again. You will, this is your notice for the August 24th at 7:30 p.m. So please be here for that. If the applicant is not ready to proceed on the August and want to go to September, there's a highly likely that the board will require to be noticed so you'd be aware of that September date. But for now, August 24th, 7:30 p.m. and no further notice. Okay, Council?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So how are you doing?
I'm good.
Sure. Yeah, why don't you take a break? It's the next one.
Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll be right at 9 o'clock sharp.
Look at that.
All right. Order. We'll now go to application. Moscow 2, lot 48, lot 44, one Mose Road.
Yes. For the record, I reviewed those joining property owners and affidavit publication there in order the board has jurisdiction to hear this appeal and zoning officer determination. As the board does, there's no report. Of course, three marks certain exhibits. They are as follows. A1, jurisdictional notice. A2, application administrative forms. A3, correspondence. A4, notice of appeal. A5, plot plan, set design, soil erosion plan. Prepared by Mid-State Engineering, consisting of two sheets revised 3/30/22. A6, architectural plans prepared by IP Plan Architecture, and 21 sheets dated 5/16/22. And we do mark our own exhibit, the planner's report dated 7/18/22 as EB1. Of course, Council, you can introduce exhibits or evidence should be necessary and appropriate for application. Please enter your appearance. For the record, and I do know that as I did the last application, our planner is unavailable today because their whole office has a big COVID scare, so we made her not show up. So, Council, you can enter your appearance and you can give your application.
Good evening. My name is Catherine Kim from Cleary, Jacobia, Ferry, and Jacobs on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Michael Moscatolo. This is in regards to the property located on 1 Mulberry Lane, also known as Block 48, Lot 14.44. We're here before the zoning board tonight because my client had filed for a zoning permit to construct the proposed dwelling that you see over there, which is the cover page for the architectural plans. The zoning permit was denied on grounds that they believe that there was a second dwelling or a second unit on the plans, which is not a permitted use. So we're here tonight to appeal the denial to set, I guess, the record straight that this is, in fact, a single family dwelling for only one household. And I have with me tonight the applicant. I have our architect and our plan. If the board doesn't mind, I'd like to introduce the applicant.
Sir, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You say your name for the record, spelling your last name, please.
My legal name is Michele Moscaritolo. I go by Michael. My last name is Moscaritolo.
Thank you. Mr. Moscaritolo, can you tell me, are you the owner of the property?
I am.
Yes. Okay. And when did you purchase the property?
About 2 years ago.
And what were you looking to do with this property?
Build my home.
And who was going to live with you?
My immediate family.
Mm-hmm. And who was that? Sister?
It will be me, my sister, and my niece.
So why did you pick Millstone?
I love Millstone. Millstone's beautiful. I have relatives that live here, a lot of friends of the family, okay. And I've always loved it.
And is this new home that you're looking to build going to be your permanent home?
It is, so I die.
And have you had a chance to review the plans, review letter?
I did.
And based on the review letter, Are you looking to use this home for another unit? I mean, are you looking to propose another household to reside in this unit?
No. This is my house. I wanted the inspiration for this house is something very old at Teens Tuscany. So an old world stylist that portage, you'd go under it and be a carriage house. So that's where the concept came from. I want it very clean, very neat. Initially, I had a different architect. They didn't understand the concept. So I had sent it into Nick, I think his name is. I wanted feedback. I'm like, are you talking to the town? I want everything according to the town. I know my neighbors well. We all know each other. And I didn't want to disrespect anybody by putting something obnoxious. So I had a part ways with the architect. They wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I didn't know if Dan D'Agostino would take me on as a client. So I was lucky to even have. So this is what we came up with. When I got this letter back, none of it made any sense. I didn't understand what was happening.
But we'll obviously go through the planner's review letter with the architect to address each comment and concerns that she raises in her report. Is there anything else that you'd like to present? Well, thank you so much. I don't know if anyone on the board has any questions for Mr. Pescatolo. As of right now, I can always bring him back.
How many square feet is the house?
It's a single dwelling, and it measures 4,833 square feet.
How much?
4,833.
The entire structure.
Yes.
With the bridge on it. The bridge that connects both sides of it.
Yes.
48. 48. And then I was looking at these plans earlier. The structure that runs along the back of the house that connects, I'm looking at,
do you mind if I bring up the architect then?
Yeah,
maybe they
yeah absolutely.
So if no one has any more.
For me, anybody have a question?
What did you say was going to live there?
Me, my sister, and my niece.
There's an awful lot of bedrooms. That's why I did.
Well, one I want to use as an office, one I want to have a guest room. My parents live in Italy. My father's 87, my mother 85. So they'll come and probably stay for maybe a month or two at a time.
How many bedrooms are there?
Six.
Six bedrooms? How did you come up with 4,833 square foot of dwelling?
That's what it says on the planner's report. Why don't we
get the architect?
Yeah, there's a lot of architects.
Is there any more questions for me?
I'm looking at your engineer's plan. 4,833 includes a dwelling and the garage. And it looks like it's only one floor. It's one floor. And he does not count this porto cachet thing as building coverage. He doesn't even count that.
Well, coverage? Well, I believe it's all in focus further.
Is it part of building?
It is part of the building, but...
that's not for your engineers.
Well, if you don't mind, I can bring up the architect who can talk about...
All right, fine. We'll start. Just some of the stuff doesn't make any sense. Go ahead.
Please raise your hand. Swear affirm. Following testimony about to give the whole truth about the truth.
I do.
Please state your name for record. Final last name, sir.
Daniel D'Agostino. D'Agostino.
Was the next question about the square footage?
Sure. We just have to qualify another next question.
Oh. Yeah, it says first floor.
Wait,
could you give us your
first is one thing.
Can you provide the qualifications for your working?
Certainly. I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. I received my degree at the New Jersey School of Architecture at NJIT in 2000. I was licensed in 2010. I've appeared before multiple boards across the state, mostly in Bergen, Passaic, and Essex County. On a few occasions, Monmouth and Ocean. I used to sit on my own planning board, so I can empathize with you. I know that. I've been accepted as an expert in each of these boards, and my license is in good standing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. So I could start with the square footage. Square footage is one of the most commonly understood and misunderstood items in the project. So when you ask the size of a home, typically you're asking livable area. That's first floor, second floor, anything that's conditioned. So on this home, I'm going to try to do the math for you. You go to my sheet, this is sheet 8000, that's the cover sheet. You'll see there's a square footage chart here. When you add the first floor 3592, second floor 2994, that's going to give you the floor area of the home.
This is how much?
What's the numbers again?
It's 3592 plus 2194.
2194?
2994. 6587.
Those are the two dwellings. The one
dwelling. Yes. Yeah, that's the finished interior space. Was that excluded?
So the number she gave us earlier is incorrect.
That was the number your planner gave me in her planner.
Yes, because she read that from your engineer's plan.
Okay.
She may be referring to planning.
Anyway,
I think
the it could just be the floor area.
Does that include the area above the driveway?
It does. The two parts of the yes, that's part of the second floor.
Can you tell us what exactly it doesn't include?
Absolutely. So, excluded from that is going to be the garage, the covered porch, patios, and walks, the underside of the porte cochere, so the second floor, the fitness area, that's included. The outdoor area below the porte cochere is excluded. Uncovered patios and open to below areas. So under the first floor stair, the basement would be excluded from livable square footage.
There is basement under both sides of that building.
No. There is not. So I'll get into that a little bit further. But under the right side of the home, there's a full basement. It's unfinished. It's an 8-foot ceiling. On the left side, that's a slab on grade.
And then in picture on the right-hand side, second picture down, there's a structure over top of the walkway.
Yes.
Is that behind the building?
This is the rear.
So you'll be able to walk from one end of the building to the other under that structure.
So
will that structure have a cover on it?
The structure only has a roof. So
the roof.
Yeah. So if I go to the engineering plan, I don't have this the way I scaled my drawings. These are construction drawings. Ordinarily, when I'm going for a zoning appearance, I do a different set of plans. They're much smaller, not as many sheets, and a little bit easier to read for these purposes. Well, I'm going to pull out the drawing that you have. Sheet 1 of 2 prepared by Chester Di Lorenzo. That's dated 9/21/21. I don't think I need to enter it as an exhibit.
Oh, hold on a second. I think that's 8/5. Let's pull up on the.
Okay. I can walk over there. That'd be easier.
That's probably easier.
I'll just use the entire room.
I feel like one of your kids. Right? They must be very good looking.
Sure. Oh, Danielle, he's complimenting himself.
That was me.
While we're waiting,
sure.
Did anyone care that other sizes of the homes around the surrounding neighborhood? Are they around 6,500 also? Do we know this?
So I don't know the size of the homes. However, driving through the neighborhood, we're in massive mansion land. This is not, you know, it's not like there's correct. I could work right off of this, right? So essentially, this right here is the house. Okay, so that perimeter. This is the detached garage. Okay, that's a 3-car garage. Now, I use the term detached. Technically, it is attached. It's attached by that roof. It's a walking surface that if it's raining,
he can park his car in the garage and walk through. I think the way that he's going to use it whenever he's running in and out of the house is he'll wind up stopping right under the porte cochere with whatever he has upon him, is either to go straight into the house or straight this way. But he has an extra car that he wants to keep.
How many garages is there?
There's three. Three in there.
Have you looked at the engineer's square footage compared with your square footage? Some of them are real. In the garage, you said it's 942. He says it's 1240.
And he might be referring to the covered pathways.
No, garage. It says garage.
So I haven't compared, but obviously we are at 2.8% in terms of coverage.
We're trying to see what you're proposing.
I have a little bit of a discussion to go through here.
Okay.
But you'll notice there are no bulk requirements. We more than comply. And when it comes to square footage, we're about 10% of building coverage. We're only at 2.48%. Where you're required to have a lot coverage of 20%, we're only at 6.82%. We're not even close.
We're not here for that.
Correct. All right. So I was contracted by Mr. Muscaris Holdo back in January of 2022 to design a single family home. As is common in most of my initial conversations with clients, we discussed his architectural needs and his aesthetic taste. With an Italian heritage, a lot of time spent in the Tuscany region of Italy, the exterior was to be inspired by the cutting edge Italian villas that are being constructed now. One of the initial, or several of the initial inspirational photos he shared had that porte cochere, and he asked if he was able to do that. I told him that I wasn't sure of your code at that time. It was my first meeting with him, but I'd never come across a code that prohibited porte cochere. I explained that my first step would be a zoning review. We discussed that the garage was not to be attached to the house. Sunlight's important to him, and he wanted to maximize sunlight into the living areas of the home, trying to go slower so that stenographer can catch this. We discussed that he wanted the basement to feel like living space, an extension of the home, windows and tall ceilings. I'll pause since we were discussing square footage before. When you do livable square footage, that 6,000 number, if this were designed more conventionally, this home, about 2,500 square feet of that would be in the basement. Okay, because we decided not to finish the basement, I'll get into that, and have that living space on the first floor and above that porte cochere, the appearance of the home is larger. It's a larger above grade. So our first step in designing a project, as I alluded to, is a thorough zoning review. We established all the requirements of the zone and designed a home that would conform with those requirements. It's my strong belief that a zoning code exists for a reason. When you have a conforming lot, you should comply. This was easy. There's no reason why anybody would ever need to seek a variance on this property. The reason we're here for the zoning denial is that the floor plan constitutes a secondary dwelling, in quotes. That's the zoning denial letter. The floor plan I prepared doesn't constitute a secondary dwelling the way I designed it. I'd like to walk you through the plan so I can actually show you the engagement adjacency of spaces. First page, we just walk through it. I will be brief. I know it's late. It's A200. That's showing the basement. There's a single stair that comes down to that basement, a sump pump in two corners. Our utilities will be on the right-hand side of the basement. This will be a finished slab, unfinished concrete walls, perimeter, a sheetrock ceiling. That's required by the building code these days. That's it. The left-hand side is going to be all clean fill. So that's crushed stone. Compacted with a slab on it. There's no living space below that.
How do you get to the basement?
There's a stair.
On this side.
There is no basement. It's a slab on grade.
Okay.
First floor, you walk in. The front door, there's a stair that goes up to your left, stair that goes up to your right. These both come and join at the center of the foyer. You've got a two-story foyer. So the right, a living room. The left, a dining room.
kitchen, and family room. Very similar to what you consider a four square, American four square. There's a powder room off of the kitchen, mud room that has a side entrance door from the porte cochere, door that goes out to the garage. I'm going to come back to this because that seems to be the point of contention. So this is that courtyard, the two covered walkways coming to the rear three-car garage. Garage here. That two-story space, that foyer, the two stairs coming up, leads to a hallway. Primary bedroom, a walk-in closet, bathroom, bedroom one, bedroom two, bedroom three. Our fitness area, again, I'm going to get into this. And then our fourth bed, bedroom with a stair that connects to the first floor. Our man cave, okay? Studio, billiard, wet bar with a sink, closet, showing the laundry room, den, which will be his office with a bathroom, closet, okay? So to kill several birds with one stone, we decided not to do the basement and spread those functions across the first and second floors. Originally, the spaces that we've come to call the man cave, but the zoning official refers to it as a secondary dwelling, and the planning report refers to it as a guest portion, second dwelling, and guest portion dwelling, was planned for the basement. This wing on the left was originally our garage. As you may know, this property is at the end of a larger development, with the entire development draining on the side of the property, which makes tall basements risky regarding water infiltration. The deeper we grow, go, or dig, the greater the chances of future water issues. Secondly, our client requested the use of the landscape and natural light for the space, so it made more sense to put the man cave on the first floor than to bury it in the basement. The fitness area then made sense to go over the carport as opposed to a bedroom floor, and a bathroom, because having living space over open air is not great practice, and it made sense given the style of home that he wanted to do, that we place that there. In that man cave, there are a couple of doors. First door is this front door. That's a double door. That's a patio door. The reason that patio door is there is the aesthetic of the front of the home. So I want to give you a good view of this. Probably the best view. You've got a door, and a door. For our intents and purposes, that could become a window, and that wouldn't be an issue. The fact that it is a patio door means that it's not operable from the front. That's not a front door. There will not be a keyed access. The only way you can open that door by unlocking from the inside. If you ever went out the front door, I don't see a reason to do that. You'd be able to operate it manually to get back in. The side, this view, there's doors here and here. Again, to maximize the light, airflow, those are patio doors. Those are not entry doors to get into and out of this dwelling. Okay? We do have a locking door here. It makes sense. It's under porte cochere. He's running in, wants to go into the side of the house. He has the access. No different than if it was a basement with a basement door. Same thing with the rear door. If he was parked in the garage and was running in, covered, he's got a key to go there. Okay?
There are five doors going to this man cave?
That's correct.
Can you go back to the second floor of that,
yes,
that building? I think there were two rooms, green rooms, if you will, that did not start.
Where exactly?
On the left side building there, those two spaces there. Yeah.
And so this is open below. So the studio below is just double height. And this is attic space. So there's a drop down stair in the den below that it'll be like an attic hatch. So that's unfinished.
So I heard you testify that there is the primary suite.
That's correct.
And then bedroom 1, 2, 3, and 4 makes a total of 5.
Correct.
The owner testified that there was 6 bedrooms.
So downstairs is the den, which could be used as the bedroom, but doesn't have any intention.
Is the bedroom where the management is?
Yeah.
The second floor.
Man cave is really the first floor and then the fitness room over the lounge.
Yeah.
So there's a bedroom here. And really this is a den, okay? But this could be, if you were to sell this house and wanted to sell it as a 6-bedroom, this would qualify.
That's the bedroom. Closet, bathroom, if you go to
it really has no bearing. But this is not a if this hadn't been rejected, this wouldn't even be a discussion. These wouldn't be doors. If we knew that there was a code that would prohibit this, we'd compromise. This is not intended to be a sleeping quarter.
So it doesn't need 5 doors.
This is convenient. We have a side porch. A porch should have a door that connects from living space to the outside. So if you wanted to, you can get rid of this. This we could very easily get rid of. This is a convenience store. They could get rid of that. This is a convenience store. They can get rid of that. Frankly, if the board wanted us to, we could get into this unit from there. Oh. I know.
Yeah, no,
I don't want to go there.
I know, but you're talking about bedrooms. I just want to clarify.
Sure.
The board's on this. On the first floor, you have a studio, which is an open aired area. That's
yes.
Like 2 stories.
Correct.
Then you have a room you call billiard, which I assume
is
just an empty room with a wet bar. Then you have what you call a quote-unquote den, which is a room, with a closet and a full bathroom.
Correct. Mike, that's where you're putting your office.
Yeah. But technically, that other than using the word den, if you change the cross out the word den and you wrote bedroom,
it could.
It constitutes the bedroom because it has a closet and a full
bedroom. Yeah, it's a bedroom.
Right. No, I'm just clarifying. And then on the second floor, I just want to clear the second floor is these plans are small. That's what I just want to say. On the second floor, you still have that open area on the front. Then you have the other second bedroom again with closets and a full bath.
Correct.
So basically that side has two bedroom, 2 bath. Does it have a laundry area?
It has a laundry closet on the first floor.
Laundry on the first floor, and it has a wet bar with a sink on the first floor as well.
Correct.
And you have access points for entrance. And now, so that's just the facts.
That's the facts. And a little bit of looking ahead here, not part of this application, he plans to one day do a pool. So, to explain why the bedroom downstairs has a bathroom, that would become the area that they're using for that. That's why the one. That's not part of the application. It's not a full accessory area or anything like that.
So if you're in the billiard room, if you're anywhere on that floor, use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So use one bathroom.
Correct.
On the first floor, there's a second bathroom on the second floor of the other bedroom.
Yeah.
It's part of an ensuite bedroom on the second floor.
Is there a kitchen in that portion?
No.
There's no kitchen. And what's a wet bar?
A wet bar is essentially, I don't know what the technical term is, but whenever you have a bar that has no sink in it, it's a dry bar. Whenever there's a sink in it, it's a wet bar.
So is there any cooking appliances being installed other than a bar and a sink?
The only thing we're doing is a microwave.
Okay.
And that would be in the, it wouldn't even be there. It would be at the billiard area. So if they have food from the house, and they're entertaining, they want to heat it up.
So is there, there's no refrigerator, dishwasher?
No refrigerator, no appliances.
So
nothing.
But the plumbing is there that you could put that in.
For what?
A refrigerator.
What plumbing? For
a bar.
Yeah, all you need is electric for a refrigerator, for stove, and
So I believe that this is leading towards it to become a kitchen. You could put a refrigerator there if you wanted to. You'd have to do a stove. You'd have to run a
either an electric line or a gas line, neither of which is in the plan, and neither of which they're going to. So, again, I'm trying to get in the head of the denial, and I've learned a little bit about the history of the town. If I were to do a secondary dwelling, if this was to be a two-bedroom, first of all, it wouldn't be attached to the house if I was trying to do that. It'd be the back garage. It'd be like a carriage house. I'd never be putting it as part of the home. Second, there'd be utilities that are separate, meters that are separate. There'd be fire separation between the units. That's a requirement. The means of egress from the upstairs would never run into the living space of that first unit. Separate mailboxes, separate garages, parking areas for that dwell. There would be a kitchen. Okay. The ensuite bedroom would have been accessible from, the ensuite bathroom would have been accessible from an area other than that deck. It would have been through a bedroom. I want to reiterate, I've done over 1,000 homes. Never been in this position before. I understand it. I understand how it's being construed. I would encourage the board to look at the space that I'm proposing. It's what you would normally find in the basement. I've outlined why we're doing it. I have no testimony beyond that. Happy to answer any questions.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Now, the first floor has the den, which could be a bedroom.
Yes.
But the second floor also has a bedroom.
Correct.
Why does the second floor need a bedroom?
Well,
if it's not going, it can't be used for a dwelling or a guest house.
So one of the earlier versions when we had the garage, this is multiple iterations that have gone. We had always wanted to do the 5-bedroom on the second floor. That's a market thing so that you protect the investment. Originally, that bedroom was going to be where the fitness area. And then I brought up the point, in fact, the builder who's with us brought up the point, he doesn't want to worry about types of reason. So it made more sense, less sense for the second floor plan, but more sense from the perspective of building science, put the bedroom over there. As you'll notice, it's no different. That fitness area, we've done houses where there are lounges on the second floor. The doors are there, which could easily be removed, permanently removed. Doors are there so that you're not hearing the noise of the fitness room on the second floor of the house. I think your question is coming to me as why do I have a bedroom over this, but really it's just a bedroom on the second floor of the house. If it was here, question, and it was here.
If I am in the main house,
yes,
I'm on the second floor, I'm walking through. First, how do I get access to the fitness area? Is there a door there?
Yes. So there's a door from both sides.
And this is so it's a lockable door on both sides.
Yes.
So you'd have
a door.
So if you're in here and exercising in the morning and have music, you're not hearing it elsewhere. These could come off. But I mean, every fitness room I've ever designed in a basement has doors.
And we understand that. But there's doors that separate the main house from the fitness room, and doors that separate the fitness room from this other side.
Correct. So this is like if we got rid of this door, say this fitness room is essentially the hall, and then that door is the door to a bedroom.
That's
okay.
The den, right?
Just to restate this, if I put this door here, there would be no less or more doors. If I put this bedroom here, you still need a door to get from that to the fitness, and you still have a door to stay.
There's a lot of, bigger homes, master bedrooms, have a sitting room.
Yes.
If you just came and said that's a sitting room, you get to work there. Then it's not much different than most big homes.
100%.
And they have doors just like you've shown.
Right.
And it just happens to be over
openings you happen to design that way for a car to reach across Pennsylvania Boulevard.
For co-share.
Cardboard. That's why you say
car, we're not fans.
We're not fans.
Right?
Yes.
So why do you think the code enforcement officer denied it?
He said, I believe the idea
I
was that.
I know what he said. He said he believes that it could be potentially or could be a second dwelling. So what elements of what you have in your plan do you think he feels makes it a second dwelling?
So I had several conversations with Nick. I don't know his last name. And he wasn't as concerned about our application. He was concerned about somebody down the road doing this illegally. And I said to him,
what are we doing?
Converting this to a two-family. I said to him, well, we still sell cars, even though people without licenses can drive a car. I have no control over what somebody down the road can do. If I were to, I think that Nick is being incredibly conservative, belt and suspenders. Frankly, I just don't think he wanted to make this decision. That's my opinion. I think it's very clear. There's multiple proofs that this is a single family home.
Yeah,
there's,
I disagree with it. I think Nick is fully capable of doing his job. And he looked at it and said, in his opinion, in his zoning code officer opinion, it constitutes a second. Well,
he literally said he doesn't want to make a call.
Well, it doesn't matter whether he wants or not, he made the call, he made the determination that you're.
I have a question for you on the second floor on the dwelling on the left side. You said that's just going to be attic space?
Correct.
And the only accessible area to get to that is going to be a pull down stair from the floor below.
From the deck.
Correct. So there's nothing, I see stairs that are going down, not small, but at any given point, was there a doorway there to get to that area?
No.
I mean, even if it's used for storage, to pull downstairs doesn't really make sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do a door there, but we have built a little bit more home than we wanted to tackle, so we didn't want to make that space.
Well, we got windows on both sides, so actually three sides of that I'm looking at. It's just dead space.
It's aesthetic, 100%.
So when? Forever? Or
I mean, this could be something that somebody down the road could do. He doesn't have any interest in doing that, at which point it would be compliant with floor area and building code, and they'd have to pull the permit to do that. That's where their air conditioning equipment's going to go, by the way. So there's going to be ductwork there. There's going to be an air handler in that space.
So now, how many zones is this house? Let's get into the mechanical. Understand how this is run.
You think of that? Max, three.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have to.
I'll say maximum three. It could probably work on two.
And you had mentioned the mechanicals are going in the basement, in the bottom right basement?
Correct. So there'll be a hot water heater, a furnace.
But where are the other zones?
So usually the way that we do it is there'll be one zone for the first floor. Another zone for the second floor bedrooms and a zone for the primary.
Where will they be placed?
The air handlers.
Yeah.
So one air handler will be in the basement and then another will be in that attic space.
And then how are you getting water from the main part of the structure to the billiard room there?
So it would all just run through the floor joists.
Through the breezeway? But weren't you concerned about the freezing?
We are. But it's heated above. It's a, I guess if you go through the attic as well, usually the plumbers figure out where the pipes are going, but in terms of sewer, there'll be a sewer that goes from the bathroom on the left side and connects to the basement on the right, and then the water can go anywhere.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Where's the septic?
In the front yard on the right.
So, the lateral movement from bathrooms on the left to that, is there any pumps or aspirators?
No, everything we would do is
gravity fed.
Everything we grab it. I don't
mean, I don't know where the inverts are, but we've never discussed with the engineer and for Liberty.
Yeah. It seems like an awful long distance from those bathrooms. I don't know the overall distance.
But yeah. At a quarter of an inch to a foot, you're probably talking max 28 inches, 30 inches from that stack into the basement. And, you know, if it goes to midway, it's a 4 foot drop.
So there's one
septic
tank.
28 inches, and that's a slab on grade.
Yeah, there's one.
Going down below grade with that, to kind of tie in laterally.
Yes, yeah. I don't know about this town's health code. I didn't do the septic design, but I know that if you have an injector, it kind of changes the system. So, you obviously have to comply.
The reason I'm asking is my house is maybe... even 2,000 square feet, and I have three tanks. I have two gray water tanks and one regular tank. So it's like, this house is 6,500. That's why I'm asking, septic tanks, where would they go on the property?
You know, I don't design them, so I can't speak intelligently. It's usually sized by the number of bedrooms. That's what I know.
And only County Board of Health approval.
Right,
for
I know.
Anything that you're up there.
And this is not a small field, though. It's 32 by 62. It's pretty large.
Well, anyway, can I ask a couple of questions?
Please.
Was the plot plan also submitted to the zoning officer?
It was.
Why did your plot plan number the dwelling? It says frame dwelling number one. Is that a number two? But they changed the other one, or the other one also says number one. Why would they number?
I've never seen that before. Meaning, I've never seen
but
that.
Then again, all these things hint there's what's going on here. And there's also, proposed two-story frame guest portion of the door. I don't know what that is.
So what is that? I don't know if I'm permitted to ask the question, but I don't know what that's hinting, labeling. It may be unclear.
One frame dwelling, but you showed two on this plan.
So I would say that that's a note that's clarifying that these are combined. It's one structure. If you look at this, it looks like there's two dwellings, but it's not doing a great job of language showing that there's four per share. So I would say that's clarifying.
Again, in the town we have three of these, and everything points to a second dwelling. We had application where they called it mother-daughter. I think it was came here a couple of times. And this one, instead of mother-daughter, maybe it's a, I don't know, is it the other side is a guest house. I'm not sure what that is.
The planner's testimony, the planner's letter touched base on that. And they asked for us to answer.
Do you have your own planner? Or?
We do.
Oh, okay. Well,
I could.
We're not here.
So,
I think she looked at the engineer's plan, and a lot of stuff on this plan seems to be incorrect. And just for the board's information, this property is 4.5 acres, but about more than half of it is a subdivision detention base. So it's really about 2 acres of land.
So the planner issued a letter and asked us to answer questions, and some of them are architectural, which I could ask. I don't know if you want me to go through those. Okay. So the first one is 3. Townships land use and development regulations provides the following relevant definitions. Dwelling unit, a room or series of connecting rooms containing living, cooking, sleeping, and sanitary facilities for one household. Dwelling, detached single family dwelling, a building designed and occupied exclusively as a residence, for only one family, having no party wall in common adjacent house building. C, household, one or more persons living together in a single housekeeping unit under a common housekeeping management plan based on an intentionally structured relationship providing the organization. So in response to 3A dwelling unit, as the left wing represents a series of rooms containing living, sleeping, and sanitary facilities and not a separate cooking area, this would suggest the entire home is a swilling, single dwelling unit. 3B, detached single family dwelling. The building is designed and will be occupied exclusively as a residence for only one family. There is no party wall in common with any adjacent building. This is one building. In 3C household, Michael already testified, the building is designed and will be occupied as a single household. Number four, the applicant shall provide testimony regarding who the intended user is of the guest portion proposal. Four, this is not a guest portion proposed. This is extended living space for the household. The intended users are the inhabitants of the house. Think of this as a basement. As the plan depicts, there is no finished basement in the home. This wing of the home is for the function of which you typically find in a basement. Five, can the proposed building design lend itself to have one of the portions be completely cut off from the remainder of the house? The homes should seamlessly flow as indicated in the plans so the family can enjoy both sides of the home. Six, will there now be two kitchens on the ground floor? The architectural plans for the guest portion indicate a bar. What amenities will be included in the bar space? For example, a range, a refrigerator, a gas hookup? No, there will only be one kitchen on the ground floor. There will not be a range, gas or electric, nor will there be a gas hookup. As indicated by the plans, there is a sink at the bar only. There is no refrigerator, no dishwasher, no gas appliances, electric cooking appliances. We have planned for a single dedicated 20-amp line for a future microwave, which would be used for eating food prepared in the main wing. Number seven, the applicant should testify to why the porte cochere is needed. The entire home has been designed with great attention given to natural light views. The very reason the left wing is occurring on the first floor and not the second floor is because the owner purposefully sought out a larger parcel of land with the ability to view the landscape. If we had attached the garage to the house, it would have obscured the windows and taken up a valuable window space. As such, we detached the garage. While the owner intends to park his cars in the garage overnight, there needs to be an area attached to the home that will provide cover during inclement weather so that he can enter the home with groceries or quickly in and out without having to pull into the garage and walk along the covered colonnade.
Any more questions?
I got one other quick question. Sure. You had mentioned that just at any given point, was there a second kitchen proposed on the left-hand side, or was it always as you're seeing it now?
It was always as you're seeing it now. That was always, I'll repeat it, that was all in the basement during my first design.
Even the bedroom?
Yeah, everything. It was basement space, and the garages were over there. This is a design forward home. It's not, I don't think this is going to stick out too much in the neighborhood, but this is not the same house that you see over and over again with the gable on the left and then the gable on the right. Okay, so we tried to do something new here. At a certain point, the function followed the form. We fell in love with the exterior and that's how we stuck with it.
If the board doesn't have any clarify something for me.
Sure.
Somebody was going to put the basement in. That bedroom is just bothering me. Sorry. If someone was going to put the basement, would they be allowed to put a bedroom down there?
If they had secondary access. So okay. If it was just a basement, a stair up, no. But if it was a bedroom in the basement with a walkout and a stair going down, the answer
is yes. Is that a zoning code?
Construction.
So construction code, you can get out through a window. You don't need
a door.
Two means of egress.
Yeah,
egress window.
Most of the time,
yeah,
it's a walkout.
Okay, yeah.
You know? That wouldn't be considered a secondary dwelling.
Just?
If it's just a bedroom with a bath or half bath and, no kitchen.
I would assume it was a regular basement with a bedroom and a bath. That's it. No larger room, there's no kitchen there. I don't believe that would constitute a dwelling unit because it doesn't have the definition, because it doesn't have cooking, it doesn't have cooking or, sanitary is
bathroom, but that should also include laundry, services probably. But I don't think you just have a bedroom in your basement and a bathroom that's not its technical dwelling. Now, you got to remember, when the law talks about this, you know, there's case law that says that when they talk about putting a bedroom in a basement, and the courts looked at it and said, hey, is that a secondary dwelling unit? And in that case, really the main ingress and egress is through the house. Okay. The secondary entry through a window, like our architect indicated, really is something from the outside of the house does not appear to be a second unit. Two, it's not really practical because you'd have to go through the house and go down basic steps to get to the house. You know, that's, of course, no, that's really not a family. Then we look at other cases where someone builds a very large addition to the home that has a separate exterior entrance, that has bathroom, has bedroom, has living space, kitchen area, and everything else, that is something that is easily seen as not being part of the house, that the court system says, yeah, that could be determined as a two-family. They had determined that as a two-family. So you have to look at it a lot of That's different okay. ways. You know, my biggest one is always, is there a secondary entrance? Because, and this is a very unusual architectural zone, but when you're regularly building a mother-daughter suite, you know, we've had this conversation. Once you put that exterior door on it, what do you do? Because why should, you know, if my mom's living there, she comes to my front door.
Well, that's kind of why I asked my question, why there's five doors.
Well, I think this is a unique architectural design that you really don't see that. This is not an addition on a home. But that doesn't mean it's not a, it doesn't amount to a two family.
You did say the laundry's there too, right?
I did.
Yeah, it would have been in the basement.
It would have been. Exactly.
So I don't know if this helps address concerns about secondary units or secondary households. We can file and record a deed restriction that runs with the land saying that this house, this property can be only used for a single household and cannot be used for multiple units or different multiple units or dwellings or households.
I think that's already part of the code. I don't know if we have to do that anyways.
Just so that in, so that
the
it gives
you. The house is ever resold, it's good to have it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the problem. This is the other thing. This is an application of appeal to zoning ordinance determination. Our ordinance only defines whether, you know, what's a single family? What's a lot of, and we don't have much guidance. I understand your comment, Captain. It's a very good comment. And it's good suggestion. But this is an appeal to the zoning officer. We can't say the zoning officer was right, but we're approving it if you do A, B, C, D, right? Or zoning officer was wrong, and you have to do A, B, C, and D. We can't add. Now, would it be reasonable to say, yeah, okay, this is it, but if you do X, Y, and Z, you're good. Well, that's only on an actual application, and we're not. This is just an appeal. The zoning officer reviewed this thing. Some towns, a mother, daughter say, hey, you're going to do this certain size of the building, certain amenities. You can't either A, you can have an outside door, B, you can't have an outside door. You can't have a kitchen, whatever it is. And 98% of them say, and by the way, prior to getting a CNO, you have to file a deed restriction saying this unit's mother cannot be rented to a third party. So that when Greg Bella buys the house, their lawyer sees this deed restriction, and I say, hey, this realtor said it was a two-family, I could rent it out, but here's a deed restriction that says I can't. I may do it on the slide, but I'll get in trouble for that. But it puts the world on notice I can't rent it out. But we're not in that situation. We don't have an ordinance that says that. We can't impose that on the applicant and grant them approval. We're kind of
We're also not here to modify the plan. It's like take it or leave.
There you go. Exactly. Well, your only determination is whether the zoning officer was correct in determining the plan submitted to him constitutes a two-family unit or not. And that's the problem with the appeal, that we can't, on an application, we can't impose reasonable conditions.
Right.
That you may like, may not like, but whatever, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Getting to this point, Nick was incredibly helpful getting to this point. If we wanted to modify, we need a variance, and we don't know what we can do. No one knows. No one knows what we can do to, because we didn't want to come to this board or any board. We just wanted to build the house. So we're all in a very difficult position. If I go back to redesign, what am I doing?
You need instruction. We understand. But this board doesn't give it.
I can see how Nick would look at it as a potential two-family house because I'll call it the southern side of the house, right? That's probably the southern side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has two bedrooms, two baths, a laundry room, a wet bar, cabinets, two separate entrances off the ground floor. It has interior doors and the upper section separate the north part from the south part. And he's looking at it and saying the only thing that's missing is a range and refrigerator. And that would make it probably capable of being more eventually a two-family house. And what he said to you is probably right, is that, you know, it's not the people that are coming in, it's the people that are coming up for your client stuff. You know, I could see where Nick would determine that this could be a two-family house. And two-family houses are not permitted. Unless they have something to do with affordable housing.
So it's what you're saying, I agree that Nick would probably say, but if there's only laundry in one side of the house, you'd have to put a laundry on the other side.
There's laundry on two sides.
Is that correct?
There is. So
there's laundry on both sides.
There's laundry on both sides.
Yes, that.
You're saying that would sort of be on the pool house.
That's what that's for.
In other words, also if there's only two zones going in this house, I can't see how that could ever be turned into a separate single family dwelling without any control of temperature.
Well, that's kind of two. Along the lines because we have five zone heating in my house.
Right. It's all one utility going in.
Yes.
You don't have multiple utilities.
No.
This has one utility going in, correct? One utility going in.
It's one utility.
Yeah, right.
So one meter, one utility.
That's correct.
Yeah, but you don't need two utilities to have a two-family home. You could charge the client. I mean, the tenant.
I don't think submetering is allowed.
Well, that,
you'd have to look up the electric code.
Regardless,
but we have no intention.
No,
we don't.
But I'm saying, from my experience,
water.
You're required to. I wish my kids paid for it.
It's 10 o'clock. Let's get to your next witness.
Thank you.
Ask more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the podcast when you're about to give the whole truth. Yes, I do.
Please
state your name for records, spell your last name, and give your address, sir.
Thomas Ricci, last name is spelled RICCI, address is 92 Park Ave in Rutherford, New Jersey.
Thomas Ricci, you could let us know your address as a planner.
Sure. So I'm a senior planner at Stonefield Engineering Design. I have a bachelor's degree as well as a master's degree, both from Rutgers University, in which I studied city and regional planning, licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey, also member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I've been accepted by 30 plus boards throughout the state of New Jersey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll just go. Yeah. I know it's late. I'm going to try to keep it, light with my definitions and clarifications. But obviously I think tonight the biggest point of contention is determining whether this is a single family or a two family dwelling. So to be clear about why we are here tonight is to appeal the zoning officer's decision on the fact that they determined that this is a two family. This is not a use variance application like the board, like the zoning board of adjustment generally deals with. We are just here to determine whether this constitutes a single family or a two family. And in my professional opinion as a planner, I believe that it's a single family. We are located in the R170 Rural Environmental Zoning District, which only permits single family dwellings. The two-story portion of the home that's attached via the Porco Share, we'll be calling it the man cave, that's the point of contention tonight, is if that's another dwelling unit. What we as planners generally do is we analyze and we interpret the development regulations in a town to determine whether a proposal follows the ordinance or not. And that's what I did. In this case, the development regulations being Millstone zoning. So what we have to do when we're unsure about a use, is take a look at the definitions in the zoning ordinance and see how our proposal matches up with that. So first and foremost, definitions section 35-2-2 of the zoning ordinance, they define single family detached dwelling unit. That's the first thing that we should take a look at. And that's defined as a building designed and occupied exclusively as a residence for only one family and having no party wall in common with an adjacent building. So we can kind of unpack that into two parts, occupied by only one family, which our client has testified that that is the intention. And then the second part is having no party wall in common with an adjacent building. Mr. D'Agostino testified, we don't have a typical party wall. There is no definition of party wall in the Millstone ordinance, probably because two families are not permitted. So what I did was I looked to the complete illustrated book of development definitions. And in New Jersey, that is a widely accepted industry standard. Use those definitions if your zoning ordinance does not have a specific definition located within it. And the party wall was stated as a common wall shared by two attached structures, buildings, or dwelling units. And then it goes on to state that a party wall is a division wall between two adjacent properties belonging to different persons. We already confirmed that it's not going to be different persons, and that no party wall exists. Technically, a party wall is usually exemplified in the design of a duplex, right? You have a wall that's separating two attached units, like the definition states, and then two separate entrances. But that's not what we're proposing here. What we're proposing is basically the exact opposite. There's a walkway that's inviting walkability between the two portions of the home. You normally wouldn't even have doors if it was a separate dwelling unit. You would separate them via the party wall. By those definitions, I think we do fall into that category as a single family residence. Secondly, we look at what's the definition of the two family, just to make sure we don't fall into that definition by any chance. And once again, two family was not defined in the Millstone ordinance because they're not permitted. So we go back to the complete illustrated book of development definitions by Harvey Moskowitz. And what it's defined as in there for two family dwelling is a single building containing two dwelling units. Pretty simple definition. Pick that apart. What is a dwelling unit? And in the Millstone zoning ordinance, a dwelling unit is a room or series of connecting rooms containing living, cooking, sleeping, and sanitary facilities for one household. So basically what that's saying is that each dwelling unit gets their own cooking and their own kitchen and their own facilities. Mr. D'Agostino testified there's not going to be a kitchen in that portion of the home. Therefore, by the Millstone zoning ordinance, I don't think we can consider this a dwelling unit. So if it's not a dwelling unit, because it doesn't have its own kitchen, we can't consider these two separate dwellings. Like if on the flip side, somehow if two families were permitted and we were proposing that, it wouldn't be approved because we wouldn't have the proper kitchen, which is what two families required to do. So really, to keep it brief and sum up, I think we fall definitely into that category of single family. And we, furthermore, we don't meet that definition of a two family. I know it's a really neat design. I know it's probably, you know, I was kind of grappling with it in the beginning. I've done plenty of two family conversions in my career. This is not one that I think could be easily converted to a two family. Mr. DiAgostino testified that, you know, there's no separate meters proposed. There's, you know, you have this walkway that kind of invites access to each part of the home. There's no separate mailbox. There's no separate thermostats controlling the air. It wouldn't make for a very rentable second dwelling unit, you know? So, you know, in my professional planning opinion, I think, you know, after analyzing the zoning ordinance, I think we without a doubt fall into the category of single family dwelling. I think this is just a unique design. And I, you know, I disagree with the zoning officer's determination that this is too bad. I have no further testimony.
One question. You had mentioned it doesn't.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mason, just a little louder.
Oh, sure. Yeah, discuss the use of the party wall and not having one. But essentially, one of those interior walls at the second floor could easily be converted to a party wall. It just needs to be fire code. It's just a matter of putting in some additional fire rated sheet rock up to do that fire wall.
But that's an enforcement issue. We've designed it to be a single family dwelling.
Understood.
I mean,
potentially. And all due respect, the intention of the use of the property at this particular time is, as the applicant has stated, that's what's used for his family. The concern is down the line. Mm-hmm. And this can easily be converted, whether we know it or not. Who's going to be able to walk into that dwelling to do an inspection?
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid concern. I would say, though, to that point, I think the point is that this one might be slightly easier to convert, but at some point we can make that argument about any single family dwelling. At some point you can convert something. It becomes an enforcement issue and less of what the applicant has proposed tonight, which can't really be held against it.
It's a unique design.
It is. And that's exciting. That's what's exciting about it. I love it.
I grappled with it too.
So there was a couple of other applications here, you know, this year for similar types of situation. And they actually weren't, they weren't even as separated looking as this, and they were denied. And both of them came here under the same conditions that they were denied by the code enforcement officer. They both sought to meet with variances.
That one had a full set kitchen, right?
A little different, but similar.
One adapted the kitchen.
So the one nice thing
about
the one nice thing about Milton, I'm glad that you really love our town because, you know, it is nice. I've lived here for a long time. You know, is that we do have these types of special conditions that help, you know, make the town the way that it is. Anyway, it is what it is. You know, it's a take it or leave it tonight. You know, we don't, you're not here with an application for a variance. You're here with an application to overturn the code enforcement's decision to deny your application. So
I should comment because I haven't heard all these other applications since I'm new in January. And I know that we said we anticipate potentially, but I don't think that should enter into our decision what potentially can happen. Because, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just trying, because somebody can come and do it and has to get a permit. And just, you know, just like 20 years from now, maybe there'll be different rules and things. I'm just making that point because I don't know about the history of all the other ones that were denied.
Well, let's take a quick step back.
This is not a case about what could happen in the future. The zoning officer determined that it wasn't too badly. He didn't determine that sometime in the future it's going to be a two family, or it could be, because then if he did that, he would have said it's a single family, we may have a problem down the road and they wouldn't even be. So,
he's determined.
So it's not what could happen. It's whether realistically, that's what his determination is. And regarding the other applications, every application is different. You know, but those applications were substantially large additions attached to the house that had separate entrances, two bedrooms, one bedroom, kitchen, or a kitchen area that the appliances were removed from the plans and there was just a space there, right? Separate entrances, right? So you're like, oopsie, what's that? There's a kitchen island, but there's no stove. But each application it lives and dies on its own. And we have to look at this application as what the zoning laws determined in the plans that were submitted. You know, that's the termination. Yeah, the planner testified, and it looks like he's putting a lot of the eggs in the basket that it doesn't have a kitchen. And what's a kitchen? Stove and a refrigerator and running water. Right? And they have running water. They have electric for everything else. But that's for a board's call. I mean, that's it. Is it a party wall? You know, what's the sort of party wall and a door that's locked and you can't get in? That's what the zoning officer grapples. So it's the board's determination is whether that decision is reasonable and kind of potential conclusion that is too bad. Based on the definition that you heard from our planner, and as well as the planner testified to the same thing. It's not an easy decision by any. You know, it would be a lot easier if he says his cousin, his neighbor down the street was in. But that's the job you guys are required. So, counsel, is there any more questions of the planner? If not, if any other witnesses?
I don't have any more unless the planner has anything further to say.
All right, counsel, before we have more discussion in the summary.
Well, we need to go open to the public first.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Let's open to the public at 10:15 p.m. Anyone here from the public to speak, please come up now. Seeing no one, we'll close the public portion at 10:15. All right, now, counsel, we summarize or finish the closing statements.
So I think the point we're here tonight is whether to determine whether the zoning officer's denial was rightfully done so. And I think the best way we can look at it is where the planner testified, saying that if we were to come here for a two-unit approval, we wouldn't satisfy it because we don't have plans that show two separate units in a household. And I do know that it is unique. It is different. I also, when I first saw it, it took me a minute to realize the layout, but it's unique. And the applicant testified to it under oath that he is using this property and is proposed dwelling as a home for him and his family, meaning his sister and his niece, and sometimes his parents that visit from Italy. And I think that's what we're coming down here for tonight. I hope the board be satisfied with the board's questions, comments, concerns from our professionals. And that sums it up for me.
Thank you. All right. Let's have a discussion with the board members. Maybe I'll start. I don't think Nick was wrong or right. I think it's just a very unique case that which is why it's in front of us, because it is different. I think some of the ones Mr. Lambros mentioned, I think at least for me, were a little easier to say that's a two-family case. Stuff around here, I almost think it's a little bit like politics. Either side, completely think you're right because of what this is. But my opinion is that I think uniqueness is what makes it different. You took that entire thing and put it in the basement, which I think a lot of houses have, including my own. I have a billiard in my basement. I have a wet bar. I have a sink. I have a dishwasher. And it was completely done by permit, legal. You know, everything was fine. cut your corners. And that's more or less what my basement is, that area. So I get what they've done. I understand the idea of making the design. I think that actually the design is beautiful. And I think I just think it's done very well. So I don't want to, what stinks about this, I don't want to sit there and say Nick was wrong. But I think in this case, I understand what we're trying to do here. And I think it's formidable. It's not a, it is a single thing. That's my
I feel a little different, but I also I don't want to get in the business of overturning our enforcement decision. You know, if it's going to be a single family home, then you need to convince the people that issue construction permits for single family homes shouldn't come here. Trying to convince the Board of Adjustment that they should give you a single family home. So, and I kind of like laid it out before. I could see the reason for Nick's decision. I personally prefer keeping the back to me with a modified plan to accept. You know, maybe it's less entrances, maybe it's no laundry. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but whatever is there was convincing enough to him that it's a two-family dwelling. He's decided that it's not hard to say whether it's going to be one in the future. He's saying it, you know. And, you know, he's kind of like our partner. You know? And he does this every day. Looks at building applications to determine whether they meet code or not. And I will assume that the vast majority of them get approved, you know, because they're not unique and different. Like this is unique, and it is different. It has a separate area with all the elements that you would need to have a separate dwelling. And that's probably why tonight. And you're here, you know, because it's your legal right. I'm not going to say it's, I think Nick is right. And I think I'm certain that this plan could be worked out with our code enforcement officer and our building. There's no doubt. There just has to be changed and maybe just some minor changes. I don't want to get, I'm not in the business of overturning code enforcement officers' decisions.
Anyone else
comment? Yeah, I think the fact that it's so unique sort of a little smoke screen for the cookie cutter. I know Nick, you know, sees these all the time, looks at it, but I just think it's so unique that it kind of doesn't fit that mold. I just don't think it's, even if you look to the future and said, well, let's rent this, doesn't look to me like it's something that would be even workable to rent out any more than, you know, I could rent out my basement to somebody. It's not that separate. It really looks to me to be one piece. And I wouldn't like overruling the code enforcement officer, but I think maybe this time it
I'm just going to say that, again, it's a very unique design and aesthetically pleasing to look at. I'm just kind of torn at the moment because it could go either way. And I'm looking at it from this perspective. Let's just say I became friends with Michael. My wife kicked me out. I could live very comfortably on this side of the house, whether I had a kitchen or not. So I didn't ever have to see you.
No, I don't care about any big ass. I didn't want a typical kind of big ass.
Right. So, again,
this is an award-winning architectural
And to reiterate what Mr. Lambro said, there's probably a few little things that maybe.
I think we are. I mean, I'm going to tweak some stuff. There aren't so many. So the whole idea is, I don't know if you've ever been to Europe or Italy in specific. They really don't put windows. Everything is a French door. Everything, that's what the whole first floor is a French door. So when you're using the dining room and you're in, like, it's French doors. It's not windows. It's not. So that was the idea here. So I am going to probably take out some of those doors and just make them windows. Because there's too many doors and the expenses are probably $200,000 in doors and windows. So I am going to probably change some of those doors out to windows. I agree. There's a lot of doors. So a lot of that's going to change the front. I don't know. The only reason why that French door is there because it matches the other French doors. But I can make those windows as well. Not a big deal.
Why is there a second laundry?
I don't know. Yeah, because eventually, so the idea is eventually.
What are you going to put your pool?
So it'll go back here. So like that. Here. So you would use this part, the first floor, as the pool house. Where I'm going to put my office. So in the future, so I really wanted, I don't know, as I get older, if I need a first floor bedroom, I have. And then eventually I'll be my office up here. So that would be the pool house area. And you'll have a wet bar, pool house. And that's why there's a French door on that bedroom. I'm going to use as my office.
Why is there a laundry?
Because the pool house. I want to wash towels and stuff.
Just wash towels.
Of course. Bathing suits.
Mm-hmm. There's a note on engineer's plan that calls guest house. I don't know
why. This is an old world, typical Italian villa.
I'm just saying what's on your plan, because that's why, and why would you call dwelling number one?
Well, it wasn't like we sat there and we're dictating how it
was. There are a lot of questions here that kind of don't know what's going on here. Because I looked at this for me, and we did a lot of questions.
Greg, that's really if we were to deny and they went back, edited all of our engineering issues and changed the windows and stuff. It's still up to Nick because there's no variances. So
right, it's really an interpretation. Yeah. If the board makes one decision, they overturn them and you get a building permit because there's no variances. That's going to come back for it. Deny it, they have three choices. One, they appeal our decision. Two, they go back to Nick and say, Nick, what the hell do I got to do to get a building? Now, he may, and either A, he gives them advice, and they may change to get a building. Or if Nick says, I don't know, that's a bigger problem. Okay. Or that, you know.
He said, we heard testimony that basically said, I don't know. Is that what I heard?
I hate to be in the position where I'm saying that about Nick. He was very helpful, but he doesn't. He looks, I think, this board as assisting.
But you're testifying under oath that he said, I don't know what to do. Go see the board.
Correct. We actually said to him, what can we do to make this move on? And he said, I have no advice to give you. I'm not sure how they're going to advise. I said, remove doors. These are exact. We couldn't get anywhere. So I think this is one of those things where it's perpetual.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to get to. If we denied and said, hey, go back to Nick and try to get some answers, the answer's already, they don't have no answers.
Correct.
But correct. I think you got enough feedback in general from the board members to make a determination of what they need to change to make it favorable to look at just guessing. Maybe it's eliminating that additional laundry, to make it.
So procedurally, then we have to go through an appeal to hear that.
He would not deny a house like that with two extra bedrooms. He probably denied it because it has an extra laundry room, a wet bar,
but you're surmising just as we
right.
Yeah. Do.
Right.
That was the problem. It's just,
but I'm not here to speak. I'm just assuming. Look, you're here. You got a letter of interpretation from a code enforcement officer that you have a two family house. We're here to determine whether he is correct.
So let's, sorry.
I apologize. Isabel, did you say the third option that was out there? I mean,
He completely redesigns it and gets rid of this other building. I'm just throwing out a third option. You know, not that you want to do. I'm just giving you.
So, thank you. So let's just board.
Well, the only problem with option four is coming for a variance. You'd have to come for a use variance for a two family. Right? And the problem is, I would guess it's very hard to get a use variance for a two family, right? Because there's really no rational reason. Not that you even want it. But we can't grant a use variance and then put conditions on it that you can't be a two family, but there'd be a deed restriction and everything else. That's the catch 22 of it. Because if it was a bulk, it's a whole different story. But we can't put reasonable conditions and grant it to them. Because that's even worse.
So if we got denied, it might just Isaac and Nick. We heard them visit the laundry room, some doors. This is all informal. But they denied us. They agreed with your approval, but they might have approved it if there was no laundry. Is Nick then going to say, okay?
Well, that's not
there. I'm not Nick.
That's neither here nor there right now.
But an understandable question, but an answer we can't give.
Mm-hmm. That's not something to go
forward. So let's finish our thoughts, get a motion. One way or another, the applicant will have to do what they have to do.
If this was approved, how would that affect the previous
zero. Zero. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think this day we're clear to the other application. I mean, I can just tell you from the one that sticks out of mind, it was the attached unit that had all the amenities set for side entrance. It was different. It was clearly an addition that was more like two.
It had like one skinny little hallway that connected the two.
Right.
Had a door.
Right.
That could have been made a wall.
Right.
Like you said, each application, so they can't come back.
Yeah, exactly. This is, unless they design a house looking exactly like this.
I just want to say I agree with the vice chair from what he said, because my house could do the same thing. I have the same things downstairs. All I need is a kitchen. I'd have to get a permit. And what I said before, I really don't think we can judge this based on potentiality. I don't think the zoning officer made a mistake. I think, like he said, it's unique and it's just something different that our zoning law, you know, things are changing in the world. People are doing different things. There's different cultures and everything. I just think our laws are not, our zoning things maybe have to be updated.
And that's a job that the county has.
Yes, exactly.
Any more thoughts, comments on this side? All right, well, then I think everyone has expressed their feelings. I would like to then, Greg, summarize.
You're going to make a motion to determine the zoning officer was incorrect. This is not a two-family dwelling for the reasons that have already been put on the record. Or B, the zoning officer was accurate as determination that the family is reasonable and appropriate for the same reasons that was not.
I'd like someone on the board to make a motion to approve.
Make a motion either way.
Approve what they're asking for or deny what they're fair appeal. That's what the motion
is. Exactly.
I'll make that.
Motion on the floor to reverse the decision of the zoning officer that the home was actually family. You need a second.
I will second that.
All right, so a vote. When we do a roll call, You vote yes. Yes is to overturn. No is to not overturn. Does that make sense?
Okay. Vice Chairman Barthelmess?
Yes.
Mr. Farrar?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Lambros? Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Like I said,
I'm born
to.
No.
Yeah, I can't explain.
You're here to do a job.
No. Mr.
Sinha. Same sense of that, but. Yes.
Ms. Beckish?
Yes.
Okay. The motion carries. I'll have a resolution drafted for next month.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
I'm very excited to see your home.
I love the housewarming party.
I like the tour.
So, yeah, so I want to be a wine rocker.
Wait, are you adjourned?
Yes, we're done. We're done with that. Sorry.
Motion to adjourn.
It was so hot here today. Thank you.